Hey, Garrett, let's record episode 27 of the Maniacal Rage Podcast.
When?
I don't know. Are you free Wednesday?
Maybe. Well, not really. I got stuff to do. I'm gonna go to a store and get a pumpkin and not carve it, but make pumpkin seeds. Like in the oven.
Oh, you're gonna roast the pumpkin?
Yeah, I like the pumpkin seeds.
You should carve the seeds.
Carve the seeds?
Yeah, like you make, that's what I do. I make little, I got 800 little miniature jack-o'-lanterns.
What do you use there? A microscope and like a...
microscope.
What kind of,
like I use the same thing they use to do orthoscopic surgery.
Oh, with the two-hand things?
Yeah, the two-hand things.
Computer screen?
Yeah, yeah. And then I just put a little miniature, a little lamp inside.
Oh, you have miniature, like a little tiny candle lamp?
Thing? That's like a lamp, has a shade.
Wow.
It's from IKEA.
Because they did start that microscopic line.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, their microscopic line. Yeah. Miniature couches.
Do you eat the seeds when you're done?
Yes.
Oh, you do? Yeah. I love eating the seeds. My only problem with them is they have, the shells are good in the middle and all, except that around the edge of a pumpkin seed is like really hard. So you can't really quite eat that spot. So like it collects in your mouth and gets kind of sharp. It's sort of like the challenge, you know. It's like when people eat oysters and stuff. It's like all the work to get this tiny little bit of something good out of it.
That's why I don't eat oysters.
Yeah. Well, it's like, what are those? Pistachios are my favorite nut.
Oh, those are good.
Good Lord, you have to go through a lot of work to get each one unshelled.
Yeah, but you know what? The pistachio has the perfect effort to fulfillment ratio.
It is a lot of nut.
Yeah, because you do like have to work at it, but it's like the sense of achievement you get when you're done is rewarded with the pistachio.
Yeah, it's sort of like recording a podcast.
Yeah, it's like,
it's, you know, it's just enough work so that it feels like we're doing something, and then right. At the end there's a big nut that comes out. I was in Seattle, I guess it was not last week, but the week before.
So you say, continue.
Yeah, so I claim. And
I'm going to Seattle, but I don't know that.
Yeah, well, the good news is that you've never checked so far. Like, you've never come to the house and seen if I was gone, so you don't really know
at all.
Maybe
you're going to, like, Vegas or something.
It's possible. And... maybe I'm just sitting in the closet eating beans out of a can.
That's true. You had that phase in college.
Yeah, life was kind of hard for a while for me. So I was in the airport. I was in JFK and then SeaTac Airport. And, I noticed an interesting thing that I wanted to run by you because I work from home now, so I don't really see a lot of
people.
Yeah, I don't see, especially I don't see people out like in the morning getting food and like a, you know, convenience store.
So you're sort of slowly sort of alienating yourself from humanity, basically.
Right. Yes, exactly. I'm pretty sure eventually I'll turn into a zombie or a vampire or a werewolf or something.
Yeah, that's how it happens.
Yeah. So here's what I saw. I had an early morning flight, and so I got to the airport at like 6:30, right? I'm sitting in on the, like, whatever, concourse waiting for whatever. And there's a Dunkin' Donuts in this area, in the JetBlue area of JFK, which is fine. And people are, you know, this huge line. Everybody's getting coffee and donuts and all that stuff.
Right.
And then there's also a, like, Famiglia pizza place
that's
open. And they're making pies. Like, they're throwing the pies up. They're cooking them. They're putting calzones out.
Nice.
And there's an equally long line for pizza.
For getting pizza?
That's right.
This is 6 in the morning.
6:30 a.m.
I forget. This is New York or Seattle?
New York.
Okay.
And I'm watching these people order. Oh, I'll take let me get a plain slice and a calzone and sit at 6:30 in the morning eating pizza. And these are not like, it'd be one thing if it was all business travelers because their schedules are so wonky that, you know, like they're just used to like living however they want. These are like really average looking people sitting with folded up slices of pizza at 6:30 in the morning, just scarfing pizza down.
Yeah, that isn't right at all.
I'm not crazy,
you're not crazy. My only theory is that maybe these people are day sleepers. Like the R.E.M. song?
So they're like graveyard shifters. Like they're up all night.
They just flew in, and to them, it's the nighttime. So they're having their pizza party.
Interesting. Yeah. But, I mean, most of these people, I think, were flying out.
I mean, wait, are you sure they weren't serving breakfast pizza?
Oh, no. Well, see, that's what I thought at first. When I saw people eating pizza, I just figured it had, like, you know, Danish on it or something. It was like pizza. It was like, you know, dough and then sauce.
Breakfast pizza is not with Danishes on it.
It should be. Doesn't that sound like a good thing?
Yeah, just a bunch of, like, just Danishes
and, just right on top of
a whole bagel on one slice.
Exactly.
Some cream cheese.
Yeah, no, but it was clearly pepperoni. One guy had, like, a peppers and onions pizza.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I thought, I'm looking around, and I see this happening, and I'm in my head, I'm screaming, like, why? Why would someone do this? This is not a morning food. And no one else was really seemed upset by this. So I thought, am I nuts? Is this a normal thing? But it's not. It can't be, right?
No, I mean, I'm with you on that. Unless it's a situation where they were all kind of like, there's two theories. One of them is that, you know, it's like that like whole like thing when you're a child and suddenly you have find a little bit of freedom, like right. Your parents go out and you're at home alone or something like that. You're like, I could eat a cookie right now.
Yeah,
I could do whatever I want. So maybe it's like kind of that syndrome where like they have some free time and they're like, I'm gonna eat pizza for breakfast.
That's true. There you know? Is sort of traveling in general, going to airports does sort of like upend the world for you because you're right. Like in this state of like not being in any real place.
Right.
So the rules do kind of fade. You know, like you eat random candy for no good reason. Like I always before I get on an airplane, I always buy candy. Like why in that 6-hour right, block is it acceptable to eat a bunch of candy?
Because it's like that you're living out your childhood fantasies. Yeah, I guess of, you're right. Rebellion.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, speaking of childhood too, what's weird is how much this country loves pizza. I mean, I don't know if this is the case for you. I'm pretty sure it probably was. When I was a kid, when they asked what your favorite food was, every single kid said pizza.
Yeah, pizza.
Every kid. And then now people eat pizza just as right. It's like it never went away. It wasn't a thing where you were like, as you grew up, you're like, oh, pizza, man, that was a childhood thing. People are like, let's get pizza everywhere we go.
Let's get more pizza into my life. Yeah, exactly. That's what everyone's saying.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I had, and this would annoy me if I didn't get to say my second theory.
Oh.
Because I said I had two theories.
Oh, yeah. I would be awkward. Skip the second part of anyone's.
Well, because it would be awkward for me if I was listening to this and someone said, I have two theories, and we'd never hit the second
theory.
Can
you call the second theory B? I love when people say first and B.
My favorite is secondively.
Yeah, that's not a word.
Yeah, no.
yeah, so what's your second theory?
Groupthink, meaning that one guy went to get pizza.
Oh.
And everyone was like, oh, wait, pizza's for breakfast now. Oh, okay, I've got to
interesting.
Go eat this pizza now, because that's what's happening right now. Whereas if someone went and like wouldn't got an ice cream cone at 6:30 in the morning and just started eating it, like everyone else would have done too.
It. Yeah, because, well, that guy's doing it. Why can't I do it?
Yeah, ice cream would be even weirder than pizza.
Yeah, that pizza. Ice cream is definitely not a breakfast food. What's weird about pizza in the morning is because it's not breakfast pizza, there's no effort to like make it okay. You're just eating pizza.
Right.
But
Which is to say that breakfast pizza is okay, which it kind of isn't.
Well, right. But at least it would be an effort to say, we understand this isn't not acceptable. Right. We're going to make it breakfast-ish. You know, put bacon on it. you know, something, you know.
Right.
Like the breakfast burrito, right? Because that was clearly, someone was like, you know what? I love burritos. I have to make this acceptable to eat in the morning. So they're like, what can I substitute for dirty beef? Oh, egg.
Right.
And then that solved it. And then now it's totally acceptable to be walking down the street in the morning eating a burrito.
Right, because everyone just assumes, oh, that's a breakfast burrito.
Right.
But if there was, like, some avocados in there and a bunch of, like, you know, like, dirty beef,
dirty people would be like, oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
So a long time ago, it feels like a long time ago now, we had our contest for the rename.
Right.
And we had two runner-up winners, and we never mentioned their names.
No, we didn't.
Because at the time, we had not heard back from both of them yet, and then we just totally forgot because we're jackasses.
Yeah, it was mostly jackassery.
Yeah. So now we have the pleasure to announce that the two people who won the follow-up, or the runner-up prizes for the Rename the Podcast contest last summer, the two shuffle winners, were Ralph Lena and Gabe Turner.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, so thanks to them for entering the contest and for winning the second instead of the runner-up prize. I hope they're both enjoying their iPod shuffles.
And maybe they're listening on it right now.
That would be creepy. I hope they're like also like petting it.
Yeah, lustfully sort of drooling a little bit.
Yeah, so we apologize for waiting so long to talk. You know, we love you guys.
Yeah, we do. With all our hearts. While we're on the topic of listeners and their feedback, whatever, we got an interesting note about something we talked about last week.
Okay.
Let me just call it up here.
Call it up here?
Call it up. Yeah, I'm calling it up.
Oh, okay, you're using a terminal?
Yeah, this is an email from Rafaela Weissman. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
If you're not, she'll stop listening forever.
It's true. So she mentioned that I guess there actually is. So what we talked about last week was dating in supermarkets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And about how there should be, I think you said there should be different colored baskets or whatever.
Yes, absolutely.
Apparently in France, they actually did this.
Oh.
I wasn't clear from her email whether every single supermarket in France was government mandated. You had to like put a little flag. I think you had a little flag, like sort of like a mailbox.
Oh, okay.
And you just flipped it up if you were single.
It's a little phallic for the men.
right. Yeah, that is a little phallic. But so there's a little flag if you're single. and which means like, please hit on me or whatever.
Interesting.
So somewhere in France, someone's done this before.
What if there's a podcast in France called like the Manicureur Podcast, and it's hosted by like Gary and Chamou, and they are talking about the same things, and someone in France is like, that's a good idea. What if tomorrow this idea starts here, and it's we were running like this? It's an alternate universe.
It'd be funny if we had a sort of like a doppelganger,
French competition,
and we with both of us with just little mustaches.
Yeah, exactly. Well, littler than the ones we have now.
Right. That's true. Yeah, actually, well, though my name in French class was Jacques.
Of course. Yeah, that makes no sense.
So I think my doppelganger would be Jacques.
Yeah, my name in Spanish class was Guillermo, which means William. Which might just, they just sound names enough, by letters.
It condescendingly sounds like Garrett. Yeah. Like, you're Guillermo.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay, call me Bill.
But otherwise you would have been like Garretto or something?
They just add O to everything. You'll be Garretto during this class O. All our Spanish listeners just turn it off.
But anyway, so I've been trying out the supermarket dating thing.
What does that mean? What's trying?
I read some articles online about how to approach people, women in supermarkets. So I have some tips for our listeners. The first one, this is just from what I've found works. First one is just make eye contact, prolonged eye contact,
like staring long, or
like just like for the duration of your shopping. Every time you see this person locked on, gotcha. Like especially distance staring, and then when you get caught staring, like hide.
Oh, right, like behind something, noticeably. Okay,
right. So just keep doing that for hopefully as long as you're in the supermarket.
Okay.
So that's step one. Mm-hmm. So that I do that.
Okay.
And then definitely make pounce at the end.
Pounce. What does that mean? Pounce. Do you mean like an animal, like literally jump onto someone, or
no? Just like suddenly move in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you just kind of like suddenly now you're like right next to them.
Right.
And so they're familiar with you. You're staring from a distance.
Right.
And then just make a quick statement, like a quick compliment.
Okay.
And then run away.
Okay. Can you give me an example?
Like, wow, your shoes are fine.
Your shoes are fine. Okay.
Yeah. The wow is important though.
Wow. Oh, like it's really important. Like, wow, this is really noticeable how fine your shoes are.
Yeah. Yeah. And then get away, just immediately leave.
Oh, you leave?
Immediately.
But what's the follow-up there?
What do you mean?
How are you dating?
Presumably, that's a good question. I haven't gotten past that point. Yeah. I've just been into this whole staring thing and pouncing.
And then saying something.
And then saying a compliment and running away.
When you leave, do you just leave your groceries behind as well? Or are you just not shopping during this whole period? You're pretty much just staring. Oh,
yeah. I usually drop my groceries.
Okay, so.
Because usually out of fear.
I see. So you've done all the shopping while leering. You have a full basket.
Right.
Then as soon as she gets to the checkout line, you jump right up, you sidle up next to her, and you just say something like, wow, your shoes are fine.
Right.
Then you drop all your stuff and run.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. You're asking me now, but what the follow-up is there. Yeah. Now I'm realizing that little hole in my strategy, which is that I don't get anything out of it.
Right.
But I kind of enjoy that part of it, though.
Sort of like speed dating without like the follow. Like there's just no, you'll
it's
never
just
see
the speed part,
again.
Really.
Right.
Yeah. So that's so all of our listeners can kind of do that. And I think that based on my experience, that's what works.
Yeah, works is an interesting word to.
Well, I stare at them and then I talk to them.
Right.
So I've kind of accomplished those two goals.
Right. It's interesting to call it dating just because it's, I think what you're doing is the first part of both dating and murdering someone.
Oh, you mean like, at this point, really, my options are dating or murdering, like,
right.
As far as what would be appropriate or expected.
Yeah. Like, she's either going to think this guy is about to ask for my number or he will murder me.
Right, right, right. Well, I don't know. You think what I'm doing is creepy? Because I think it's kind of, it's sort of, sweet.
Hmm. I think you might, maybe a suggestion for a follow-up here isn't even to add the dating aspect to it, but just to, right before you run away in your, childish scary thing that you just like run away like a little kid.
Yeah, usually I'm filled with so much fear that my hands automatically let go of my food.
Yeah, right before you do that,
right.
Just do one of those like, how's my driving kind of things where you just ask a simple, how did this go for you? And just see what they say. And if they say totally wasn't creeped out, then you know it's working.
Yeah, are you turned on right now?
Right. And if she says, are you going to murder me? Then you know. not a good
idea.
Didn't
work.
Right, did not.
But what if I say no, I'm not going to murder you? Then she'll probably be like, then she'll probably be interested.
She may be endearing. Yeah, that may be endearing to her, is that, that you're honest with her and that you're
the
not
honesty,
a murderer.
Right. The honesty and the non-murdering.
Yeah, non-murdering, I've heard, is one of the top things women look for in men. When I was getting on the plane coming home from Seattle,
sure,
this guy was standing behind me in line on the like little hallway that connects the plane to the place. I'm not good with descriptions, I guess. You know, like the little terminal tunnel.
That I usually call it the tunnel of love.
Tunnel of love, right. Okay, so I'm in the tunnel of love with some dude, and he takes out his phone,
right,
and he makes a call. And every single thing this guy said on this call sounded like he was suspicious, but they were all normal things. So he was like, hello? Hey, it's Jerry. Yeah, what are you doing? Uh-huh. And I was wondering what was happening on the other line, and I kept expecting it to come to something where he'd be like, you did what? But he was just totally normal. Oh, did you feed the dog? Like, it was really bizarre, this interaction. And I just figured it was with this specific person. Maybe he's suspicious of this person's behavior. Right. And then he finally gets off the phone, and a few minutes later his phone rings, and when he answers it, he's like, hello? And then it was clearly a different person, and he does same interaction.
Oh, wait, so his entire phone persona is skeptical, sort of, you know, mysteriousness.
And I was expecting then that when we got on the plane, when the JetBlue lady was like, oh, thank you, you know, like, thanks for flying with us or whatever, he would go, uh-huh, but he was totally normal. He was like, oh, hey, how's it going? Oh, I'm, where's row 10 or whatever, you know? And then he just gets in the seat,
right.
And he was two seats behind me, and he got another call before we had to shut everything off. And again, same thing. Who is this? Like, really bizarre.
Maybe,
like,
he's just creeped out by phone conversations in general.
Maybe he doesn't believe in technology, or maybe he doesn't believe in phone technology specifically.
Oh, like, maybe he's, like, from the past. Like, maybe he was, like, born in the Middle Ages. And so to him, the phone is like this devil box to him.
Interesting.
Where he's like, how is this box talking to me?
He doesn't seem to mind getting on a jet plane, though, an aeroplane.
Yeah, I guess that's the sort of a hole in my theory.
Yeah, sort of like that, remember that SNL guy, the caveman?
Right, unfrozen caveman lawyer.
Who would always say things like, I don't understand this complicated world of watching a television while he's doing it. Maybe that's what this guy's about. You know, planes don't scare him, but yeah, talking box next to his ear.
Yeah. Or maybe that's just his one failure, is that he doesn't understand how cell phones work.
Oh, so he's just suspicious of the whole thing.
Like, hello?
Yeah, what is this?
Like, he doesn't even know where he got this thing. It's just, to him, it's just spirits talking to him.
Maybe it wasn't his phone. Maybe, like, someone stuck that in his pocket. Like a reverse pickpocket. You know, like someone just slipped a phone in his pocket. Right. Kind of like they do in movies where that person's about to get critical information from a bad guy.
Right, or they're held hostage or something. Yeah.
But instead, it's just a totally innocuous reverse pickpocket where someone's like, I'm going to give this guy a phone.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like a Nokia salesman was like, here's a free phone.
And then just conversate. People call him. Like, yeah. Hey,
and so every time he's like, this isn't my phone. Who is this?
You'd think that would eventually, I think before I was just answered the phone, was constantly skeptical, I would get rid of the phone.
Yeah, I would just throw it away.
I was at a play recently, and it was a lesbian themed play.
Okay,
but you know, so I guess I expected a certain kind of crowd, but
lesbians.
I didn't expect lesbians, but I didn't expect to be the only non-lesbian.
Oh,
so I'm waiting in line, and it just, I don't know, maybe it just amuses me when certain things play out like that. I guess because there's nothing shocking about any of this, but it was just funny being like, went to a lesbian play, and I was the only non-lesbian in waiting in line.
What's interesting about the way you're phrasing that, the only non-lesbian, makes it sound as though there were other men there who were lesbians.
Oh, right.
So you were the only man?
Well, no. At first, I was the only man. And then another guy came in.
Mm-hmm.
But he was wearing a leather vest. And on the back, in stitchings, it said 2007 Fire Island Leather Champion.
That guy was probably not straight.
I'm just gonna throw that out there, but it was just like, so it was delightful almost to see that, because it was just like, wow, that's just so specifically what you would, this is the joke you would make ahead of time,
right,
if you were gonna make a joke about that, and then it fulfilled itself.
Right
So I was the only man there not wearing a 2007 Fire Island Leather Champion, which, let's just now segue this to that jacket. which is 2007 Fire Island Leather Champion.
Yeah, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Does he make leather? Like, he takes raw cowhide and makes it into leather, or he crafts things?
I'm assuming that he got this jacket because of his outfit. Because he added a leather hat on and leather pants. Oh, yeah,
like the kind of like biker. Yeah. There's that whole, there's kind of like a gay biker thing that they do specific costuming for like the gayer toned biker outfit.
It was exactly that, right. So I just think it's just the phrasing of it was great.
Yeah, that's what Leather Champion is a bizarre, yeah, that, and I don't even think English-wise that makes sense.
No, it doesn't at all, but because champion requires, I guess he just won the leather.
Champion. Like, I think you have to be like fighting champion. There has to be some verb in
right,
there.
Right, because leather is like just sort of...
You can't be house champion. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
House building champion, maybe. Like, you also can't be car champion. Like, you can be a car driving champion. Like, there has to be a verb, I think, to be a champion of something.
Right.
Unless the verb... unless it's leathering, you know? Like, he's applying leather to people in specific ways, and that is a very... I would have asked him, actually.
Yeah, I might. I should have, actually. I just didn't, you know, being the one non-lesbian, non-leather champion in the audience, I didn't feel like, you know... putting myself on the spot like that.
But. Yeah, it's interesting that you felt like it would be putting you on the spot. I guess he probably likes talking about the leather champion thing because he's a champion. So it would be kind
he
of your thing.
Oh, right, probably would want... because he's wearing the vest.
Right, so he's clearly not embarrassed by the leather champion thing.
Right.
It'd be like if an Olympian was wearing his gold medal around, it would not be inappropriate for you to say, like, what'd you win that for?
That'd be awesome, dude. You're wearing a gold medal, and you're like, oh, what'd she win that for? Oh.
Yeah, really. Seriously, are people asking me this again today? I am so tired of talking about the Olympics. Yes, I won the gold. You know, I mean, I think people, when they put on, if I was carrying around the Heisman Trophy, I would be thrilled for someone to ask me how I won it. Right. But I didn't. I stole it.
Walking over here, I saw a sign in one of the windows of the laundromats near here. And it said... if you to dry here, you must wash here.
Oh yeah, they're big on the no drying in this neighborhood.
So I was like, all right, let me think about this. And now I'm just picturing people like running up to this laundromat with wet laundry, like bundled up in their arms, and they're like, can I just put this in the dryer real quick? And they're like, no, get out.
Yeah.
You know. And I'm like, who is washing in one place and then running somewhere else with wet clothes? And drying another place.
Yeah, for the longest time, because the laundromat that I go to, the people are like really, really nice, but they are really hardcore. There are signs all over the windows and all over the walls that say no dry only. Huh. And it's dry as in quotes.
Right.
Because that's their italics. So it's like, no dry only. And for the longest time, I was like, I was thinking the same thing. Like, who is washing somewhere else coming here? Or who's like washing at home and then bringing them to dry?
Right, or maybe it was raining out and I walked into a laundromat stripped naked and put all my clothes
in
the dryer.
Seems a little bizarre, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then I think I thought about this for a long time, and I'm glad you brought this up because I think I have the solution.
Oh, okay.
I think that they're trying to prevent people bringing in dirty, wet stuff. So literally like someone like drops their coat into a wet, dirty puddle. And then sticks it in the dryer because they don't want dirt in the dryer. They're afraid that
people are constantly dropping their stuff in dirty puddles.
I believe
and
that's
coming
the case,
in and trying to dry it. As opposed to these people somehow feel that they don't need to wash this. They just need to dry it.
Right. And I think that maybe things like, you know, like if your toilet overflows, I'm not saying yours does, but I know mine does every day. If say like you were in a really dilapidated apartment and your toilet just overflowed all over and you grabbed your towels and you just sopped up the toilet water.
Sure.
Like they don't want you bringing that in and sticking it in the dryer. You know, I think maybe the unfortunate reality is they really need to say, don't bring dirty things in to be dried. Because they probably wouldn't mind if you brought in wet, clean clothing.
Right. We don't service douchebags.
Yeah, well, exactly.
You'd have to. Who's gonna mop up their shit water and then bring it into the? And okay, this clearly just needs to be dried.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure the feces will fall off eventually.
We always talk about fashion stuff, so I figure this is my open forum.
We love fashion.
Yeah, whenever I see something fashion related, I bring it up. Like,
hopefully one day we'll Hopefully one day we'll have our own Maniacal Rage
clothing line. I think we should.
Which we'll fuel other podcasts to complain about. Because it would be like, because I kind of want to release like single boots.
What does that mean? A single one shoe,
one boot.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, like, I think that that could
you
be
get
a...
get both legs into it, like a big boot?
That's, well, that's even a better idea than what I had.
That sounds awesome.
It's, so it's sort of like, it's sort of like a potato sack kind of race.
Yeah, I like that. Well, I'll tell you this much, cuts down on shoe applying time. Now it's only one versus two. That's half, you just saved half your morning right there. Well, maybe not half your entire morning, but if you could also combine other things together, like, then you could...
Yeah, because I mean, you just hop right in.
I like that.
You just keep... You just keep the boot next to your door, and so when it's time to go, you just
jump right into it. Yeah, well, I like the little spring sound it makes, too.
Oh, yeah, it would definitely make the noise.
Will it have, like, kind of like a potato sack style tie where it's around your waist, you just cinch it?
I think, you know, it would be kind of like a rubber galosh kind of situation where it would just kind of, like, it would just kind of hug your,
nice.
Your 2 feet.
No tie, no necessary.
Yeah, and then you're just kind of bouncing around.
It sounds waterproof, too, which is good, because then you can do that double foot jump into puddles.
Right.
Which is pretty sweet.
Right, which will, like, splash, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be a little, like, a big galosh.
I like that.
Also, large people like Shaquille O'Neal could just buy two.
That was episode 27.
Are we singing now?
Yeah, that's how every now, from now on, I think we should end every episode with a little, like, singing. What do they call it? What are the interludes? Is there a word for that?
Yeah, it's called interlude.
Interlude for the interlude. End? Sure, whatever.
Interludes.
Like that. At one point, you know, a long time ago, and if our hardcore listeners will remember this, we did a acapella version of the guitar thing. Do you remember that?
Like, yeah, right.
I think we should do an acapella version of talking. Which I know that sounds like that's blowing your mind right now, I'm pretty sure. But it's basically talking in song.
Okay.
And I call it acapella because that word is cool. It's, I guess, two
it's
words.
It's a hip word right now. Yeah. Everyone's into it.
So, but you don't, it's not, you're not making a song. You're just talking in song like this. And it doesn't actually have to make a song. And it's kind of coolly annoying, you know?
Yeah, so everything you say will sound like an Alanis Morissette song, basically.
Exactly.
Because she just kind of speaks.
She just kind of speaks. Yeah, she's just constantly ranting about stuff.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to do this lately at convenience stores. You know, it's like, can I have a sandwich? And then they'll be like, what? And I'll be like, mayo only. Like that.
It's almost like so strange they can't acknowledge it. Plus, you did ask them a question, so they actually have to respond to the question.
Right.
And they don't get to say, why are you singing?
Exactly. Yeah, if I was just to go in and go like, hello, then they would go, don't do that, or why are you doing that?
Hold the mustard, please.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What kind of turkey do you have? Right. And then if they say, please don't sing, you're like, that's not an answer to my question.
Right.
Which you can call a lot of people on that, by the way, is
then,
another thing.
Right, then they're like, wait, maybe he's not singing. Maybe I'm...
not, yeah, maybe your brain is screwed
maybe
up.
Maybe my brain is, yeah.
The goal eventually would be to do this so much to someone that they start singing, and then you stop. And then they freak out.
Right. that would be a good challenge.
Yeah. So slowly they start like, maybe I'm not crazy. And then and then eventually you just go like, what are you doing, man? And they're like, what do you mean? And they're like, you're singing everything. And then they're like, but you were before. And you're like, no, I wasn't.
And you still are.
Yep. And then they're like, maybe you're having a stroke.
Maybe I am.
Like that. So.
Right. Yeah. Do you smell mustard right now?
Yeah. I heard it was burning matches. I thought it was.
Oh, I thought it was burning mustard.
Yeah. Now every time I smell a match, I'm like, oh God, I'm having a stroke.
Yeah. I know.
Even when I light a match, I just directly light a match, smell it, and go, I might be having a stroke, even though I know I'm not.
Yeah. We have that match sniffing problem, which we've talked about I thought we were over that, but
I like the smell of sulfur. What can I say? I'm crazy.
Well, hopefully you go to hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Hopefully, indeed. I've been trying to do as many things to guarantee that as possible. Speaking of hell, episode 27 is still sponsored by Segment Publishing.
The fine, fine folks at Segment Publishing are still rocking it.
Yeah, they are hosting the crap out of our podcast and other people's sites too. So check it out at segpub.net. And stay tuned for episode 3 of Maniacal Rage TV, which is coming really soon.
Indeed, it is.
So this was episode 27. I was Garrett Murray.
I was Sean Morrison.
And tomorrow we're both different people.
Yeah, one shoe. One boot.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, like, I think that could
you
be
get
a...
get both legs into it, like a big boot?
That's even better. All right, sorry. Bye.